Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And in this segment, I sit down with a Popofsky playwright whose original avant-garde production is headed to New York.
I think what happens when you hit 50 as a woman is you look around and you have this lens of how are women being portrayed? Movies, stage. And I was not seeing women's stories just portrayed to me. I kind of saw just a series of females that were always a little more just sidekick, very stereotypical, not very rich or substantive stories. And that just sparked in me right around that age level to say, my goodness, there's so many fascinating women in this world. Let's unearth those stories and let's showcase those stories and let's celebrate women. Let's highlight women.
That is Kate Beliveau. She lives in Popofsky, Minnesota, and since 2006, her Mask and Rose Women's Theater Collective has been bringing her idea into action by highlighting the stories of phenomenal women through the medium of the stage. In addition to producing, directing, and acting in plays, Kate has also written them. She's written an original production highlighting the women in Ernest Hemingway's life, his four wives, Hadley Richardson, Pauline Pfeiffer, Martha Gellhorn, and Mary Welsh Hemingway, as well as his mother Grace and granddaughter Margot. And that play, Mary 4, Martha 3, No Footnotes, will be produced in New York City later this month. She stopped by the studio to talk about how this all happened.
The Beltrami County Historical Society asked me to read a very little kind of instructive piece about our native daughter, Mary Welsh Hemingway. At that time, I didn't know that she was born in Walker and spent a lot of time on the steamboat with her father, Tom Welsh, a forester. I didn't know that she moved kindergarten to high school to live on 12th and Bemidji Avenue and attended the teacher's college, the Normal College. I didn't know that a Bemidji pioneer journalist inspired her to go to Northwestern College and seek out journalism. And I just thought, you know, Bemidji knows about Jane Russell and we know about Paul and Babe. But we also have this kind of amazing woman in her own right, and that's what the play tries to focus. In her own right, she was covering World War II in London, and she is a Bemidji native daughter. So that sparked interest in her, but with theater, you have to create a storyline, and I didn't want to do a one-woman show, but I felt there was enough dramatic tension between Martha Gellhorn, his third wife, and Mary Hemingway, Mary Welsh Hemingway, especially with the Women's Theater Collective, because Ernest was struggling with bipolar depression and health issues and his own alcoholism and lots of brain injuries, quite frankly. And women sometimes have to ask themselves in their life, when do I leave a relationship and when do I stay in it? And that's a theme many women have to explore in their lives. And they seemed like the point counterpoint. And so we use them as the real emphasis of the dramatic tension.
Right. Point, counterpoint being Martha, the third wife, she left. She couldn't take it anymore. She needed to go. But Mary, on the other hand, sticks it out.
That's right. Mary many times could have left, but she had a great heart and empathy towards asking herself, will he be better off? Again, she kind of subsumed her own career, and I guess I admire that. But I also admire the person that says, I really can't give 100% up of who I am as a human being, as a journalist myself, knowing as adventurous as she was, not one to want to clean up after drinking parties to have her own career move forward. So I think women and men also can relate to those hard choices people have to make in their lives. It's hard to balance career with family, with life in general. So it isn't just a female theme, but we most distinctly let the women have their very shining voice on stage, because one of the big things is Martha feared, and that's where the title comes from. I'm afraid I'm going to be a footnote. It's going to be Martha Gellhorn, Hemingway's third wife. That's it. But if you dig into her life, incredibly fascinating life.
That is Kate Beliveau. Her original play, Mary 4, Martha 3, No Footnotes, explores the lives of women in Ernest Hemingway's life, from his four wives to his mother and his granddaughter.
It took 3 years. I have notebooks and notebooks of each of the women's lives and Hemingway's lives, and I've read so many of the biographies. I haven't read all of his work, so believe me, that's still a task to get through his work, but also Martha's work. And you finally get to this place where you just have enough meaty dramatic tension there and enough of the powerful voices of the women that I felt like, I've got enough here, I've got to stop researching, and let's start turning this into theater. Mm-hmm. So, but who knows, because I had not written a play like this ever in my life. The writing itself, I was, in quotation marks, retired from teaching. And so I was able to go to Key West, and there's a lot of homeless population, believe it or not, in Key West. So it was a lot of homeless men sitting at the computers and then me in the library. But I also got a lot of time in going to the Hemingway house and where he wrote up on the second floor of one of the buildings and where he met Martha Gellhorn at one of the bars there, Sloppy Joe's, and spending a lot of time riding my bike around, taking in the energy of Hemingway, a new writer. And I feel, and I've told people, that Key West is the muse for this play. It created this really lovely space for me to have lots and lots of time to have all my resource books and my notes and get it all pulled together.
It is an all-female cast by design. Talk a little about how you decided Hemingway could be played by a woman.
I got a grant to study physical theater and the use of masks out in Del Arte in California. And that kind of led my belief about we could perform Hemingway not as a male actor, but as a female in mask. And that would be real powerful because he directly said that fame was such a pinching mask to him.
You traveled all over the country studying these women from Florida to Idaho and wrote the play. You produced it several times in Walker at the Minnesota Folklore Theater and then also brought it to Bemidji. Both places made perfect sense because that's where Ernest Hemingway's fourth wife, Mary, grew up. She grew up floating back and forth between Walker and Bemidji. But then you decided to send your script off to be considered at the New York Summerfest Theater Competition. What was going through your mind as you sent your baby off in the mail?
I was thinking, I'm from Poposky, Minnesota. That's what I was thinking. And we have our own internal voices that can stop us sometimes. We sometimes think creativity only exists in Los Angeles and New York because those are the creative epicenters in many ways. But I do believe there are, and we know this, creative people doing great work all over. And so we sometimes have to fight against our own barriers, thinking I'm rural, small town, never could I make it in that market. So I didn't have a lot of confidence, quite frankly. I just said, I love this play. I've gotten great feedback on it. Let's try.
And now Mary 4, Martha 3, No Footnotes is going to be produced in New York at the Hudson Guild Theater. That'll be coming up August 21st, 22nd, and 25th. How does it feel?
Well, I'm really excited because I did a little research on the Hudson Guild Theater, and 2 years before Ernest Hemingway was even born, at that time, all of the immigrants were coming to our big cities, and there were the tenements, right? Working class, poor, lots of struggles between the different ethnic groups, and the Irish, Protestant, and Catholics were fighting each other, much like the movie Gangs in New York, if folks have seen that. And Dr. John Lovejoy Elliott said, let's take the gangs out there, the young roady boys and their energy, and bring them into this building he'd purchased, and let's teach him how to box. And so he took them under the wing, and so we literally are going to be doing this play in the Hudson Guild Theater. It's not 42nd Street. It's off Broadway, but it's close enough for someone from Poposky because we're on 26th Street. And it's in Chelsea. And Chelsea, you know, back in the day was just working class neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's changed now, of course, dramatically, but it's only 100-seat theater. But I love the history that Hemingway was a boxer and he took these gang kids, these Irish kids, and had them do boxing in the theater where we'll be.
I can't imagine any person would not be squirming if four of their previous spouses got together and shared stories. I mean, we're talking about unfiltered access to somebody, you know,
absolutely.
When you're a spouse. Hypothetically, what do you think Hemingway would think about this play?
Well, I talked to Ernest. I talked to him at his gravesite. I was having a struggle because there were so many of his behaviors that were politely disconcerting, I'm going to say. And part of this, like I said, I am a person who has a great deal of empathy for people who struggle. And yet his behaviors were so boorish sometimes to the women that I had to get to this place of empathy to say, especially some of the direct words of his first wife, Hadley, who was so supportive of him in Paris when he was trying to make it as a novelist. When she directly says he struggled with wanting to kill himself since the age of 22 years old, direct words from his journals, there's where my empathy was born. And the more you track and understand and see how that was a big part of his life, is wanting to commit suicide and struggled with bipolar. The swings were huge. Then I could also allow the women to have their very honest story, but I think we did a fair job. And I asked a lot of people after the show, did we do a fair job portraying a gentleman who's considered one of the brilliant, brilliant literary geniuses of the 20th century? And people did say we did a fair job. I know a few folks just have him on such a pedestal because he was the man's man. So when a women's theater collective takes on the man's man and looks at his clay feet, I especially wanted feedback from some of those men who came to the production. And they said I was fair. We just want to say, what about the women that were part of the journey, especially Pauline, who gets real short shrift in the play? I didn't develop her as much. I play her. But she was a witty, brilliant woman, and she edited those first works. He felt very much he was lost after they divorced because she was this amazing editor. But we just needed the women's voice to be heard as well.
What is it about theater that you love?
I love books, movies, anything that challenges me to dig deep and reassess my own ideas and attitudes and think. And I know even Martha in the play, she says, we won't be fascists here in this play. And a fascist, its definition is to dictate what you think and believe. And so I enjoy, especially now, later in my life, theater that has you walking away and thinking about what you just saw and challenging you. And perhaps sitting down in a place with people who perhaps don't share your same views, but you get to sit in the story of another. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things that theater arts do, is teach the skills of empathy. And in this day and age, we especially need, we always do as humans, to walk in the shoes of the other. And in sitting and listening to their story, build empathy. And this is what's been lovely about Mary Martha, is I still run into people that came to the play, some who I don't even know, and say, Kate, I thought about that play for 3-4 days after I watched it, and I want to see it again. That was probably the best compliment you can give a playwright, is to say, it made me think.
That is playwright Kate Beliveau. She lives in Popaski, Minnesota, and her play, Mary 4, Martha 3, No Footnotes, has made its way from Popaski to New York City. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.